Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say.
How deep are you?
Ready to sweat.
I mean, like,
little Bo-Peep.
It's a 12-foot pool,
about an inch.
Mail Street.
You were giving your girl the swine flu.
Listening to Creep.
Hey everybody.
Oh,
that was a genuine surprise.
It was.
I decided to forego the 5-minute warning because everyone was all set up and talking about boners.
Yep, that's what we were doing.
I tried not to do it, but then it kept going.
Par for the course.
Welcome everyone to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 134 of the podcast. 134, looking for more. Anyway, without any further ado, let's go to the far end of the room and sound off!
It's Nick McCullough.
It's Castel V.
It's LP.
It's Scott.
It's Tins.
It's B-B-B-Wo.
It's K-Cloud.
Oh no, it's Keith. Oh my god, it's Mark.
And first of all, let me thank everybody for coming out to Sunday's show. That would be Stone Cold Jane Austen. That was a lot of fun. You guys were more receptive than I ever could have hoped for.
I laughed frequently. Scotty D was there. He said he laughed a lot.
I support that show.
It was a good time.
It was a real good time.
A lot of us were ladies.
To Cheryl of the North American Jane Austen Society, I'm sorry that you could not make the show, but I will send you a report right when we're done with this podcast.
Do you actually have to send her a report? Is
she
that
wanted to put it in their newsletter.
Awesome.
So I feel inspired.
Where are they based
so.
Out of, Mark?
They're the North American Jane Austen Society, so I'm not really sure.
Don't let her know how much Castelvi just said penis.
I tried to get Mel Evans from the Jane Austens to come to the show.
Yeah.
But she didn't come.
I invited her to this week, so we'll see.
She won't come.
Yeah, probably.
I'm mad at her.
Oh, shit, you guys.
What?
Oh, I forgot the mailbag. You know how it goes.
Well, that's okay, man. You know what? It's okay.
Wait, I have it, though. If, you know what was weird about this one? I was going through the mailbag. This one was actually just in the same envelope as one we got, like, what must have been 100 podcasts ago.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's a letter.
It's a scroll.
And... This letter comes to us from a Conky 2001.
Huh. What?
And Conky writes, "Dear Octavarius, don't tell anyone, but by the time this letter reaches you, I will most likely be dead."
Oh my god.
Whoa.
Are we getting a suicide letter?
I'm hiding in a friend's basement from the police. Because ever since Pee-Wee's Playhouse went off the air, life has been absolute shit. I drink too much.
Oh boy.
I steal. Sometimes I kill. But mostly just small animals for food. I have lived in alleys. I have met women named Allie. That's all the things I've done with alleys. Seriously though... Life is pretty bleak without the love and friendship that Pee-wee's Playhouse brought me. Do you have any advice? Oh shit, the cops. Gotta go.
Hurry, right, faster.
He didn't sign it.
So
at the end.
Be anybody then.
Today's podcast is about depression.
Yeah. The greatest depression. A robot dying.
Can you guys imagine being in a depression for, like, as a country for almost 15 years?
One would argue that we're in such a depression.
Well.
Not that bad.
Dude, we
not
just
like
gave our country Xanax and we were fine.
I mean, by actual depression
standards.
No, we weren't.
How long is that line?
The soup line, I mean, it's long right now, but it's been much longer. The early 1930s into the early 1940s, the soup line standard was off the charts, unprecedented.
Big soup lines.
Long soup lines.
So this Sunday, I'm hosting a show called Baby's Playhouse, based off of the children's television show Pee-wee's Playhouse. How many of you guys actually grew up watching Pee-wee?
They cannot they can't see your hand. Your hand.
Here, me.
Yes.
I have a story to tell.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you ring your bell? Go ahead.
Oh, shit.
Where's your bell?
Well, go ahead. Talk, Nick.
There it is.
Alright. So I used to love watching. It's actually funny because whenever, depending on when you're listening to this, we were just rehearsing the show and it brought back a lot of fun memories I had watching the show with a lot of like catchphrases. But it also made me realize why my parents hated watching the show.
Your parents didn't watch the show with
you? No, they didn't let me watch it. It was on like Saturday mornings at like 7:30 or 8.
It was on at 8:30 Central Time.
That's right.
9:30 Eastern Time. On CBS. Same block as Muppet Babies.
Oh, I was
so it and that was a big Muppet animation Babies. Block. And this is pre Fox's dominance on cartoons.
Yeah.
With X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman, and Power Rangers Saturday morning.
Yeah,
so
extravaganza.
But my parents hated when
they didn't
I'm
watch
watching.
It with you.
No, they wouldn't let me watch it. I had to sneak down there, turn it on, and then if I heard them coming downstairs, my mom hated the sound of Pee-wee Herman's voice. She hated it. That was annoying, so I had to quickly change the channels to something.
Oh, so she didn't want you not watching it because of any graphic or the content of it, but because
are any of you guys annoyed by the voice?
I am a little bit.
Yeah. Now I am. Now present day.
I get a kick out of it because his voice reminds me of what most children sound like to me. Because children, especially young children, will test out their lungs, and they'll start to yell when they shouldn't be yelling. And then they'll talk softly, like at odd points. Were you a noisy child? Is that what your mom didn't like?
Oh yeah, I was very noisy. I was just running around screaming.
Kids are all fucking noise boxes.
Did you scream when it was time to scream?
Oh, I screamed, and that's when they noticed. And then my mom always be like, "Why is he screaming?" And they realized, oh, he's watching Pee-wee Herman.
Maybe show that it encourages that it supports people to scream.
Yeah,
it's always.
Like, you can't watch that anymore.
One of the Muppet babies could have died. I mean, you never know. You'd be screaming for any
Gonzo.
I have very fond memories of the show because I'd watch it with my father, and we would sit together and watch the show very often, and have a great time. He always would scream with me, and it was kind of like a half hour where we could just kind of be ridiculous and then go about our days after that. Me being a child and him being a pipe fitter.
It's a sitcom.
But he just, kid and the pipe fitter. But he liked that. He got a big kick out of Pee-wee, and he loved the actors in it because it had Lawrence Fishburne as Cowboy Curtis, whose previous credits were like, which Vietnam movie was in? Was it Platoon? Mm-hmm. He was in Platoon before that.
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now.
He was in Apocalypse Now.
Who's the dude in Platoon? I'm thinking.
The guy who won the Oscar in 2005, his name I can't think of.
Okay. Forrest Whitaker.
And then it also had Phil Hartman as Captain Carl. Who was fantastic. And then all of the other players were generally groundlings, people in that sketch group. So it started out as a live show, and it became a television show and a film.
It was originally much, much dirtier, I believe.
Super dirty. The HBO special from the early 80s is just delicious.
Yeah. It's just this character that Paul Rubens had created, I suppose.
Who is
a
deviant of
some
sort.
Sort of deviant.
And a lot of jokes were. I guess it's still in the children's show. Just he didn't understand innuendos and things like that. I think was the main deal with the show. And
now,
then it was adapted for children.
Remind me, had Paul Rubens the only movie I can remember him in before Pee Wee is Cheech and Chong's Nice Dreams.
He was also in Blues Brothers.
He was in Blues Brothers, that's right.
He was in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie,
yes.
I keep being told.
That was post
Mystery Man.
That was post Pee Wee.
Oh, it was post Pee Wee.
Mystery Man.
Was Mystery Man.
That was also post Pee Wee.
Oh, yeah.
He was wonderful on Reno 911, that character he plays
there.
Great
in just
and he was
every
in Blow.
He's in Goldeneye.
He's in.
No, he's not.
No, that's no, it's Alan.
Alan
Cumming.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman.
But
knockers.
Would you guys... Now, I, looking back on Pee-wee's Playhouse, the television show, there were a lot of innuendo. Would you guys let your kids watch something like that? Or
Kids don't get anything.
I mean, LP, I think you're most qualified.
Yeah, dude, I totally let them
watch it. I would actually stop letting them watch it, but I would be more likely to let them watch it up until they're 10, and then I would start, if they were, let's say if they were like 11 or 12-year-olds, I'd probably not want them to get into it, because they start recognizing them, and then they're getting something different out of the show.
I don't care about it at that point. Like, I think it's a show where they would like it when they don't really understand it, because it's like tons of bright colors and lots of people yelling and lots of fun things happening, and they're not really paying attention to the content so much.
But when they get to 11 and 12...
But that's when they start watching X-Men and Spider-Man and, like more awesome shows.
Yeah, they're going to outgrow their kid shows.
I watched, like, X-Men and Spider-Man when I was younger... because of the same thing, bright colors, man who has spider powers, things like that. But then when I became 11 or 12, I was less interested in it. I switched to other stuff. When it got to the time for me to enjoy like plot and storytelling more, I leaned into more comedy like TV shows and less action and adventure shows.
Right.
I went straight to Nickelodeon, basically stuck there the entire time.
Yeah, they did have some quality stuff on Nickelodeon.
And then maybe some 4 o'clock Disney programming sometimes was pretty good. Even Stevens was a decent show.
Yeah. Nickelodeon was always better than Disney, though, growing up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just love... You know, I wish that, whatever happened to those old... The live-action shows on Nickelodeon as a pair from our childhood to now...
Oh my
because
God.
I've rewatched our old shows.
Like
now, Are You Afraid of the Dark is shitty, but
really
it's a certain kind of shitty. It is nostalgic for us.
Pete was really good.
It is good.
I watched it again.
I have both seasons here.
Clarissa Explains It All is really good too.
A lot of the shows now are produced by the same guy, though.
Yeah,
the iCarly dude.
Yeah, the guy that makes iCarly makes Hannah Montana makes. God, what are the other shows?
He makes the cute shows.
Presentation.
Wizards
style,
of Waverly Place.
So he's like the prince of young adult television.
He actually was a young adult star. This guy.
And the prince?
He was the producer of All That, and he also produced Kenan and Kel.
Sweet.
He was the manager in Good Burger in the movie.
That guy. I know that guy.
He was an
in
actor
all that all the time.
He was in the show Head of the Class as a child actor.
Yeah.
Well, not child, really. He was in his early 20s. But he was pretending. He may have been a child actor before that, but I remember him first from Head of the Class.
One day.
And this dude had just a fucking vision for an empire of children's programming from All That on.
But then he wept, for there were no more channels left to conquer.
I mean, I'm sure he's just got money out the wazoo. It's
like,
just crazy.
Like all
he's really
those,
bad with his money.
All those shows now.
Is he?
Just kidding.
They're all just like, so they're the category melodrama. There's over the top, ridiculous. Whereas P&P is more like real life.
Here's the problem with the
P&P
shows.
I wouldn't say real life.
Is right now.
Or it's
well,
more
no.
Realism.
But it is, yeah.
Isn't
it
there
is
a superhero on
average
that show?
American. Yes, of course.
And a
but
job
listen
with that too.
To what
the
now
way
it's about. Instead of being about families with lives and weird things occur in their normal lives,
like
Pete and Pete,
quirks.
Or Hey Dude, or anything like that. Or,
Hey Dude.
But now,
hey,
a lot
dude,
of the shows center around performing and entertaining.
Yeah.
So there's always a girl who leads a life as a singer, or works to be a singer, in, at least in front of her school.
Gotta
but
sell
now...
Homes.
But
not
now
the
there's
life.
Some...
The Sweet Life, the second couple.
Yeah, and they aren't they in a band?
No,
their mom is something.
They just live a sweet life.
No, they live in a hotel.
They
lived on a boat for a while.
I think they live in a boat now. They used to live in a hotel.
Yeah. Now they're the Sweet Life on deck.
Yep.
But the most recent stuff I've seen is there's a few shows that deal with kids who are actors.
Weird.
And they're going on auditions and like they're on extra parts on sets. And it's like I'm watching... something being shot on a lot that's dressed up to look like a lot.
maybe that plays along with the reality show age we live in, where people, so many young people they don't want to grow up to be a police officer or an astronaut. They want to grow up to be famous.
We all want to grow up to be famous.
Yeah, but now people are famous just for being famous.
Yeah.
Like the Infection. fucking Kardashians don't have they're not famous for anything other than being famous. Well, and there's a lot of fucking people out
Ray
there.
Ray J's dick.
Suck Ray J's
that
dick.
That is what made her famous. That is how that started.
Worked for Paris Hilton.
That is how that happened. Kim Kardashian became famous because of that weird video where she sucks Ray J's weird dick.
That's not the first time I've heard of her, though. I heard about Kim Kardashian before I knew she was sucking Ray J's dick.
Yeah, but she got famous for that sex.
I would highly argue she was famous before that.
She was not famous. Before that, she was like talked about here and then because she was like hitting.
Well, she was rumored to be giving him a blowjob.
Well, she was like hitting like events, like premieres and stuff.
But
and
like, no, why did we know who she was before?
Because she had money, and she like famous. She was like friends with the what's their name? Paris Hilton and the other one, Nicole Richie. Like she ran in that circle. And wasn't really seen with them, and people were like, why are we doing a news story about her? Basically, the news story was, why are we doing a news story about Kim Kardashian? Why is she famous?
We'll tell you why, we think, at least.
and then the sex tape hit, and, you know, boom.
Sex will do it.
She became huge.
Well, that's
why
I've started giving a lot of people more blowjobs.
I've been noticing.
You just never know who's going to hit big.
Did you guys see Ray J's dick in that thing? It was weird.
It
bends on.
I don't believe I've seen the film.
You didn't see it?
I've seen it.
It was in the news.
Can I look up porn on your computer?
You can get it through like
I'll find it for you.
Oh, goodness.
Dog has joined
porn
the podcast.
Porn is porn in the cloud. Get used to it.
Yeah, I mean, it just is. And this was like on Huffington Post and shit. It's not like regular porn. This is news porn.
It's Huffington Post endorsed porn.
You know there's Huffington Post endorsed porn.
Just go to huffpost.com/porn.
It gets you places sometimes, and you don't know that that's what's happening.
You get surprised HuffPost porn?
Well, you know, like Huff you're porn. Reading different things on Huffington Post, and then you click on a thing, and then it's
posting.
Like, there's Kate Middleton's paparazzi nude tits.
Wait, what? When did we get Kate Middleton titties?
Yeah, didn't you guys see this story?
I had to look it up when I went home.
When did that happen?
Days
ago. Yeah, some paparazzo snapped a photo with a telephoto lens of her sunbathing. On like a friend's patio with William. So like there's the future king and future queen.
And the future queen's tits.
And future queen's tits. So like that's
the
big set of photos.
That's a pun crown right there.
What?
You mean
the pun viking.
I can't believe Mark just put on that viking.
Look at yourself, Mark.
If you're Kate Middleton, you gotta watch your nips. You don't know who's gonna be.
But also, don't you gotta live your life?
Yes.
Sometimes your life is a bunch of tits.
You still,
I don't know. If you're Kate Middleton, maybe sometimes you gotta let them titties out. I don't know.
I guess.
I was Kate Middleton, I'd probably let my titties out every once in a while.
No, she always keeps them under wraps, even at home.
That's much better.
Sorry,
I distracted the conversation because I changed Mark's Viking helmet to have the horns pointed down.
It's like a sad Viking.
It's like a Dovahkiin.
Yeah.
I know what it means.
Sounds like some guy.
Fools do rotens.
Fools roda.
Fools roda.
It's dragon speak. I'm trying to bond with you.
Enjoys this, at least.
Yeah, well, it's not working.
I don't know what you idiots are doing.
So what? How do you think Pee-wee's Playhouse? It went from this raunchy. This is similar with the Muppets too, I believe. Like it was originally much more adult, and then they were like, "Well, it's like this." The joke of Pee-wee originally, when it was a live show, I guess, was that it was a really raunchy show that pretended to be a kids show, and someone saw it and was like, "We'll just make that an actual kids show."
Yes, that is correct.
Like I remember in the Pee-wee show on. The live show, the original one, he and his friend put mirrors on their shoes so they could see up Miss Yvonne's skirt.
No.
And then Miss Yvonne was like, "You boys!
Don't look at my vagina!
How does my puss-puss look at you?" Like, "You boys, are you putting mirrors on your shoes?" As if, like, they'd done it multiple times before.
I feel like it's just harder to market that kind of show. I mean, like, they're making it PG would just attract a larger audience, which it did.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was also televised then after that.
It was so... I dug the offbeat humor of it. It was so... It was like kind of like my introduction as a small child to offbeat humor.
I like don't remember watching Pee Wee growing up. Like I knew of it, but our friend Jared was actually the one in college to be like, "You need to see Pee Wee's Big Adventure. It is the best movie in the entire world.
So good.
You need to see it." And like I hadn't seen it up to that point that I could recall, I watched it and I was like, "You're right. This is the best movie in the world.
It's so much fun."
Like that's one of the few movies I laugh out loud. I'll just lose it.
You lol?
Dude.
I like never lol.
I know, it's really great.
It is a great adventure. It's
I always lol.
It's like a great, a weird spin on the classic road trip scenario film.
Co-written by Phil Hartman?
I think I heard that.
Yeah, I'm reading up on this right now, and... It's a kind of cool story. He was on the set for Warner Brothers, and he noticed that everyone rode around on bicycles around the sets. So he asked them, "Hey, when am I going to get mine?" as a joke, and they gave him a refurbished Schwinn, like the one in the movie.
Sweet.
So he threw away this original script he was writing, and wrote a new one about how much he loved the bike they gave him. And then he was like, he changed to like, "Whoa, what if it was stolen?" So. Wrote it like that.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And like, what a great thank you card. It probably also returned them like millions of dollars. Yeah.
So good. Sadly. I love all the oversized things beginning. I love when he goes through the billboard.
It's the movie's actually got a very fun, I haven't watched all of it, but the Blu-ray has a very fun commentary track where it's fairly present day Paul Rubens and Tim Burton just chatting about the movie. It is pretty cool.
Is it Tim Burton directed it, right?
Yes. It was his directorial debut, I believe.
What did he do before?
I thought Frankenweenie was his first, like...
Well, that wasn't a feature film, though.
Oh, yeah. Frankenweenie was a short, technically. You're right.
Wow. I think that was more of like a film project for him.
Yeah.
Well, I remember watching it on VHS.
Me too.
Because I could get in the library. What a weird film that was to see as a kid. Just so many... I feel like a lot of these offbeat comedians that were making things, were really influential to me as a kid. And, like, I think about those types of shows that are going on right now, and I can think of, like, there's Yo Gabba Gabba, there's Regular Show... there's Adventure Time, and those are the ones that stick out to me as like seriously offbeat humor, but aimed at children.
The Cartoon Network is really good for providing a decent amount of like absurd shows that it just completely absurd.
It's wonderful.
And live action cartoons. Shows now.
It serves no good. There's a lot of bizarre things in them, and a lot of adult jokes snuck in there.
Have you ever watched
Flapjack was like that.
The new Looney Tunes show?
No.
Yeah.
It's like the Looney Tunes characters, but they're in a sitcom. And so it's like
what?
Yeah, it's Daffy and Bugs.
It's not like
roommates.
Yeah, the roommates they do like regular normal things. They live next to Yosemite Sam and then they have like adult like problems.
They have girlfriends and stuff.
They're
just like dudes in school mascot costumes.
No, they're the cartoons. They're still the animals, I suppose.
Wacky things do happen. You know, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
I just like. I didn't. I thought I was gonna hate it.
Is that the one where the animation style is just god awful?
Well, it looks very new.
It's different.
It looks fresh.
It's not. I'll put it in the chat room.
But you know, the Looney Tunes themselves kind of went through some changes as far as animation goes. You know.
Yeah, they did.
So I don't think it's that ridiculous to ask them not to change the art style.
Were you guys big Looney Tunes fans?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. That was like my main source.
What was your favorite like character?
Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Growing up, it was Tasmanian Devil, and then it was Bugs. Bugs is the best.
I love Daffy.
So does Costello.
I really like Daffy.
Daffy's a good one.
I love old Daffy before he like became Bugs's bitch.
Yeah, I like Daffy when he was an
nutso,
asshole.
He was like a nutso like character, right?
Yeah, I always liked Daffy, and awesome. I like Donald better than Mickey. I always I don't know. I just always like those jerks.
Maybe you're just a duck man.
Dolan, please.
You know, I was just getting into Looney Tunes when I also started getting into Tiny Toons. They were both Tiny Toons. And I so preferred Tiny Toon Adventures.
Me too. Yes.
Because I got introduced to both at the same time. So I just really never got super into Looney Tunes. I would watch it okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a cartoon with animals that talk, so I suppose I'm eight and I like it.
Yeah.
But I really liked Tiny Toon Adventures.
Did you guys ever play the Tiny Toons game
for yes.
Super Nintendo?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was so good.
Was it the sports one?
They had a sports one?
It was like a soccer one, I think, but it's the one where it's like a side scroller, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, yeah.
It's all over the place.
I liked Muppet Babies more than Muppets.
Muppet Babies was my favorite show growing up. It was great. And Rugrats. Babies are great. I love babies.
It's so weird. I feel like all the shows that we like were very offbeat.
But they're like way better than anything that's on now. Yeah. I'm not just saying that because we grew up with it. Like, you watch anything now, it just
seems Adventure Time's
not
awesome.
As...
It was the 90s.
Adventure Time's great.
Yeah, I feel like that. There still are a lot of awesome things. You just have to look for
more
them. They're a lot more...
Yeah, I also have no idea what's on... You know, Nickelodeon or Disney Channel at the times I used to watch television.
Oh, yeah, that's way. It's like iCarly now and Jake and Josh or whatever.
Yeah,
Jake and Josh is out.
And then there's.
Aubrey wants to remind
us. Dude,
that
is like two or 3 years ago, man. Whatever.
Real Monsters.
Yes!
Yeah,
that was
my jam. That was
a good show.
Wait, what was the. We were going to make an Ah Real Monsters drinking game, which I think was just every time they scream, you
there's
drink.
A lot of screams in that show.
That's
man.
The whole point.
It's silly.
I forget what the premise was.
The premise
did, like,
was
they,
scare monster. School. Yeah, there was a school for monsters.
I know there was, but why did they go scare people? Did
that's
their,
what they did.
Did their cities live on screams like in Monsters Inc.?
No,
or what?
I don't believe so. I believe
it was just
it would
fucking
have no,
awesome to do it. Your
it's
monster
just what was
what
expected
you
of you as a monster.
How did monsters make their money though?
They
How did
they
pay
the
rent?
They didn't make any
they
money.
They have
money.
No need for
they,
money.
They went to school for scaring. Right?
Yeah, Tin, start imposing your materialism on these monsters. Monsters.
Well,
just
they're,
liberated,
like,
okay.
they're like Klingons. They live on honor.
I just don't.
They're
I just
like,
don't want to support a class system of hobo, dirty, transient monsters.
They don't expect
all.
You to, and that's why they scare you.
More capitalist vomit from Tim.
According to IMDb, the show takes us through the struggles of a life of a child monster. Three monster friends are studying how to scare humans in school. Often their attempts don't work out as planned. Thank you, IMDb.
4 stars.
Mm-hmm. 7.4 stars.
Nice.
It's good. It's really enjoyable.
It's you good. Know, according to the users that watched it as a kid enough to bother rating it on IMDb.
It was pretty good, I think.
I didn't like that one as much as the others, but I really loved Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends in that same class of...
That was a little later.
Yeah, that was kind of more recent. I didn't get into that either.
I watched it as an adult, and that's another one of that Brian would like because it is a totally disreputable main character.
Well, he's psycho, right?
He's just stupid. Like he's really selfish. The main monster in that.
Oh,
the blue
the kid.
One.
Yeah,
I thought the kid was like schizophrenic, and that's what it was. No,
no, I think
it's the same animator who did a Samurai Jack. Is that right?
Probably.
Yeah, which was also awesome.
Yeah, that was also good. Awesome.
And also the Star Wars Clone Wars cartoon.
Which was awesome.
Which then got replaced by the Clone Wars shitty CGI series.
That is shitty.
It is quite shitty. They had too many superpowers in that cartoon, though. Like, fucking Jedi's were, like, moving buildings and shit and that fucking thing.
They did that in
cool.
the comics? That wasn't...
Dude, Dark Empire, Luke Skywalker moves a Star Destroyer.
But it's fucking hard to do. Like, have you seen...
He's Darth Vader.
Let me fucking show you. Like, fucking... Yoda's just, like, throwing, like, fucking things around with the Force. And then
Yoda's
in the fucking...
really good at the Force.
Yeah, but in the Jedi, he could barely lift that fucking plane on out of the
because
swamp.
He was too old to begin the training.
It was only, like, 60... What? Like, less than 30 years prior he was doing these
Dude,
things.
Have you seen Star Wars? I don't think you
Yes,
have.
I have seen Star Wars,
I seriously
Nick.
Wonder how much you know about
Nick,
Star Wars.
I have
I'm on
seen
your side.
I saw it, and I read the books, my friend.
This is an intervention. I really don't think you've ever seen Star Wars.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think, like, I'm worried about this. Like, you, these are simple truths in the Star Wars
Too
universe.
Too much force. Question mark?
Luke has no training when he gets to Dagobah.
So, of course, he would not know.
But Yoda has all the training.
So, he does it easily.
But, man.
He doesn't do it easily. That's what I'm saying.
He's
what
fucking about, dying. He's old. What about, but what about the trauma? What about the trauma of all of those events? Yoda feels all of the deaths. Like, all this shit weighs on him. That has also accelerated his aging. He's weaker. He's that not, shit's fucking
no.
Yoda
is
like
Lincoln.
He's not as awesome because he's so sad.
His sadness is stopping him from doing it.
Of course.
I'm watching this shit right now, and they're fucking, it's like a war, and three Jedi are just like killing people. Although Grievous is the shit.
They exaggerated
Grievous is the shit? Castelby, I don't think I know you anymore.
Dude, I'll put it in the chat room.
Actually what annoyed me most about that series is it made me excited to see General Grievous in the movies, and then he blew.
Yeah,
right. Well, they explained why he was a bitch in the movies, though.
Why? Yeah, they
explained
why he was a bitch.
Like, Mace Windu, like, crushes his chest cavity,
and
he was sick.
Bitch, though.
That's why he worried.
No, right. But he was so great in the cartoon.
He was cold.
Wait. Mace Windu, like, crushed his chest cavity, and that's why,
and that's why
Grievous. That's why Grievous has, like, a cold all the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Dude.
Cool. I didn't fucking write it. What do you want from me? I'm just telling you.
I'm just saying.
Grievous in the cartoon murders so many people. He's so evil.
He's
like,
so Grievous.
I just don't want... It's just something about, like, my villain sounding like British orphan children that's, like, not that intimidating to me.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oliver.
However.
Apologies to all of our British orphan listeners.
Do you
guys
remember,
a lot of people are pissed.
Do you guys remember you can't do that on television?
What? That was
so
beyond my time.
Yeah.
It was way
I
too late.
I didn't have cable then, but I knew about it because I had friends that talked about it at school.
Uh-huh.
But no, I didn't have cable.
I got cable
yet.
Late. Did you guys all have cable?
Show.
I had cable later.
Yeah.
I didn't have cable until I was in high school.
I got cable when my parents stole cable. That was awesome.
Yeah, my parents totally stole cable too.
Mine did too. Pretty great.
That was great.
I was so psyched.
We've always had cable, and my dad got DirecTV when DirecTV first came out, and it cost like $750.
Damn, bro. What?
But then he didn't know that he was accidentally getting the Playboy Channel for like a month.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
Awesome.
Nice.
When you're in like 8th grade, that's a treasure.
That's
chest.
Brilliant. It was a great time for everyone.
Remember the show, like Undressed on MTV?
Yeah, I do.
I remember seeing advertisements.
That was like the acceptable porn for 8th graders.
Dude,
that shit
was awesome to watch in secret.
Right. Do you guys remember Silk Stockings?
I never watched it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yes, on USA.
That was the porn for USA that I would watch, yes.
For USA, really?
It was like La Femme Nikita, right?
Yeah, it was right for Three Stooges. Silk Stockings.
They know what you want.
Well, after wrestling would be La Femme Nikita, and then on Tuesdays would be Three Stooges with Silk Stockings.
Is there like a plot to Silk Stockings?
Maybe.
Oh, I don't fucking know.
Is it like,
I think it was episodic. There were
detectives.
Because I feel like Undressed.
One was named Stockings.
The other was named Silk.
I believe.
Was it the Franklin and Bash of its time?
I wish.
Because like for Undressed, it was, I remember it would be like a couple, there were a variety of stories happening. And one of the things that I remember about Undressed that I don't see often anywhere else, is a story might last a couple episodes, but the various stories happening, there might be, say, three stories happening, they weren't all on the same timeline. So you could be following one story across four episodes, but then another story might complete in that same episode, and another one might have started two episodes ago and end like the next episode.
It totally made my beat-up sessions more satisfying. I was just like, man, they are so clever.
I never masturbated to Undressed.
Never?
No. I was too young.
I'm the only one.
You are not alone.
You are not alone.
I think I came close because there was one.
Killing everyone.
Because I feel like.
I know, I'm watching it too.
Toward the end of Undressed, there's like.
Mace Windu fighting robots with his pants.
You guys, we run live stream on the same bandwidth.
I think because for Undressed, it would kind of be like a different, possibly sexual situation that you may encounter,
And there were, you know, but I feel like after a while they had to get into ones that were less likely. Like there was one about twins.
I loved that
one. Oh yeah.
Mark.
They switched places, and it was like, oh man, look at them.
I have no, I never watched this show.
Those twins got so many jobs in that like 2 year period. I remember they were in Van Wilder, they were in a Coors commercial, because it was like, and twins? Do you remember those old commercials?
Oh yeah, so.
Yes, oh I man, I bet you Paul Rubens beat off to that in a movie theater.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, well,
that's good segue.
That was a good segue.
That took him off the map.
What do you expect somebody to do in one of those theaters?
That's what they're made for.
Like Fred Willard, just recently.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is, you can't find a better place.
I mean, for Fred Willard, I think it's inexcusable, because in this day and age, if you want to beat off, you go anywhere but a movie theater.
Where do you even find an adult movie theater anymore?
I don't know. I have no idea.
There's three right down the street.
But he was in LA.
On Hubbard, yeah.
Really?
There's like, I've never gone in there. I don't know what they are, but it's like three sketchy ass things.
You
want to
go in there?
You want
to just sit and bring some popcorn?
Dude, I don't
want
to pay money to watch free porn.
I wonder how much it costs.
Sitting in gross.
Fucking, you go see it. I'm gonna like, I'm gonna go to Harold's Chicken Shack or something. I'll meet up with you guys afterwards.
Oh my God.
I'm just gonna go to Harold's Chicken Shack with my laptop and watch porn.
Dude,
there.
I'm gonna bring the chicken to the porn place wearing a poncho. I'll be fine.
They are gonna be so suspicious when you smell like chicken.
They're not gonna worry about
the
poncho.
I'm the biggest worry.
Here's what you do:
list
if you ever want to bring a bucket of chicken into a movie theater, you bring another bucket of chicken. For the people working at the movie theater. Like, I want to eat this. I brought you guys this as a gift. Let's both be on our way.
You put a hole in the, in the bottom of that bucket of chicken?
Yes, sir. This is two tickets to Ask Gas and Score.
It takes so long to get through.
Get a greasy dick at the bottom of that bucket of chicken.
Somebody's going to have to eat 12 pieces of chicken.
Oh, fuck you. Like, you're not going to help me eat those chicken with
it. I am going to help.
You're
going to
eat a lot of those
chicken.
I'm
slower when it gets down to my dick level.
That's what it's going to be. It's the best part.
No, I want fried chicken.
Let's get some fried chicken.
Can you imagine
me too.
If, like, a lady just
we
walked
last
into
week.
A jack-off theater?
Jack-off
like,
theater?
I'm here to join the party.
I'm sure it's happened.
And then she whipped her dick out.
Yeah, maybe she likes that.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe she's in it, and she wants to increase the box.
You know what? If I was in a pornographic movie, I'm not going to go to the jack-off theater to see my debut.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
What if that's the only place they show it?
Yeah.
If I was a lady, and I was in a pornographic
film...
Well,
if you're nominated, and this is
for
like,
what?
For
a spermie? For
dude,
what?
This is your life achievement. You want
for
to
a handy
dude,
if you win Dick Sucker of the Year, you will be famous.
Okay.
Yeah, look at Kim Kardashian.
If this was like my porn Oscar, wouldn't I be able to like get a screener of it?
They have porn Oscar, right?
The Woodies.
There's the only place where it's playing on a big screen.
Then I'll wait until it's like it's been in the theater for like 8 weeks and everyone's already seen it.
This is
only going to be like five guys furiously jerking off to me.
They all got ponchos on. It smells like chicken.
The ticket takers have like a bucket of 48 pieces of chicken. Just munching away.
God, what a great place, huh?
No, but...
Harold's chicken is
everybody's
great,
just minding their own business having chicken. Possibly jerking off.
We should
under
make like a fried chicken and porn theater.
No,
there's already a thing called porn and chicken.
You would have to hire.
This is all we do. We just show porn, but like young hip people and serve fried chicken.
Yeah, but you would have to hire extra people just to clean bones off of your feeder.
And cum.
Don't forget cum, says Castelli.
There's going to be so many people eating chicken, there's no way they'll have time to cum.
It's the same chemicals to clean cum as it is to clean chicken.
A brewer.
It's too much cum in this podcast.
It's not enough.
Right?
I feel like we've been invaded.
Have you guys...
Porn and chickens at the Evil Olive, says Blunderblevins in the chat room.
Yeah, that's used to be Lab Rat's deal.
Yeah.
Really? They have porn and chicken at the Evil Olive?
Apparently, yeah.
The Evil
Olive?
Oh, wait,
no, I've heard of this. Yes. They should porn and everyone eats.
No, it's a bar.
It's a club over on Ashland and North.
She said, Blender Blevin says last time they were there it was hente themed.
Isn't it like a weekly or a monthly thing? Like, I've heard of this.
Since every week.
Yeah, a weekly thing. Porn chicken.
Yeah, porn chicken, I guess.
Huh.
Like, he says it's great.
Well, then we'll open Octavarius Presents Porn and Chicken. It'll be different.
Yeah, I'm still down. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it.
The second half
we could
of the
still
porn.
Watch pornography. We did something similar in college, if I recall.
What?
Remember, it was porn.
Yeah,
and ice cream.
There was a porn and ice cream night.
I went to the one. I went to the only one.
Inaugural.
That was the one where the men in gorilla suits were shoving bananas.
I only remember Edward
what?
Penis Hands. Is the only
that was a great
Edward
time.
Penis Hands was a crazy one.
Yes, it was Edward Penis Hands, and then just a giant tub of ice cream, which I don't think we ever made a dent of.
Well, we were pretty horrified by Edward Penis Hands.
Yeah, he just had a big penis on his hand.
So we had a penis for each hand.
Yes.
And a
balls,
penis.
And balls.
No, his hands didn't have balls.
I thought there was like a ball sack of
no
some
balls
sort.
On the hand.
It was,
only
just, a straight,
on the
it was just a straight cylindrical penis.
Yeah.
All right. We'll look it up.
It was unfortunate looking, yeah.
That was never on Pee-wee's Playhouse, though. Pee-wee's Playhouse.
You could try and steer this ship around as much as
you
want.
We're going to get back to porn sometime.
I know.
I got a lot of opinions.
You know what was weird about Pee-wee's Playhouse, though, is everything was anthropomorphic. Everything in that house had a life and a soul. Like, Flory, the idea of Flory is terrifying.
He's the greatest character. I love Flory.
Like, he was a monster. He sounded like a monster on purpose.
No, he didn't sound like a monster. He sounded like a stoner. He was like, hey, Pee-wee.
He had a raspier, lower voice. It was like,
hey, Pee-wee.
You mean to tell me, Tins, you've never talked to your floor when you were younger?
I'm telling you, Makula, I have never talked to my floor.
I mean, like, when you were younger.
Impossible!
The first time you watched Pee-wee's like Playhouse, you wanted to make your house, your parents' house, whatever it was, like Pee-wee's Playhouse, so you would talk to the floor, and you would talk to the chair.
You know.
You've never do that?
Nah.
I'm sure as a joke, I probably said, I'm sorry to the floor.
I think you found the reason why your mom didn't let you watch Pee-wee.
Oh, no.
It was all the constant screaming.
She came home and you had a pterodactyl.
You shoved one of your friends into your couch.
What?
To be Cherry.
I'm excited to be Cherry at the show.
Oh, it looks great.
I've been working on my Cherry costume. It's made out of the sofa that we had in college that we found by a dumpster.
Pretty cool.
5 years later, it would star in a show on Sunday night at 7.
The animals that have probably been on that couch.
Animals in this room.
I've slept on that couch. I've been inside that couch.
Wow.
Chairs are sexual. Everybody knows that. When's the last time you've looked at a chair and you didn't think, that's pretty nice? I'd like to sit in that.
You wanted to stuff it.
Ah, with my butt.
I know.
So porn is really cool.
Porn is great.
Sometimes when I'm watching porn,
I'm on a couch.
I'm on a couch. So there's your segue.
There's your sign.
There's your segue.
That's there's your you segue. Could be like Bill Engvall II.
Here's your sign.
Here's your segue.
I like the segue.
I was on a segue.
I think it's a good thing.
What?
Nothing.
Who are you?
Don't worry about it. I'm trying to read the comments in the chat room. I don't know who Blunder Blevins is, but he or she's going cray cray.
What are they saying?
They're just talking about, they're just very active in the chat room, talking about Fraggle Rock.
Read us a bit of their conversation.
On HBO, I think, if I remember
Fraggle
right.
Fraggle Rock.
Originally, it was on HBO.
No way.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
Was it dirty?
At least at one point, maybe.
No, HBO had kids programming. It's still dirty.
Yeah, they had Babar.
Oh, yeah. Babar.
Man.
That was
my king. He was the king of the elephants.
What?
Babar.
Babar?
Babar is
I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Wait, it's pretty bad. Babar?
It's boring. You know who Babar is, dude?
Oh,
dude, get out, please.
Guys.
Who's Babar?
I don't know who Babar is.
He's a little elephant.
He's international. He's
in a You're going to have to tusk me on this family. One. I
you
never
already have
the
stupid hat thing.
Can we actually have this for bad puns and the crown for good ones?
Yes.
I pillaged that pun.
You have to do it. He's like, yeah, he's Babar is French. He's a French elephant.
Well, why would I care then?
Wow, dude. Because Tins is learning French and we're trying to be supportive.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. You mean capitalist mumbo jumbo Tins?
Wow.
I'm sorry?
From earlier tonight.
I don't know what you're doing. Apologizes for any of the views that.
So, what did Babar do?
He was the king of the elephants.
Oh, so I assume it was all about him reading and signing documents.
No, this is a picture of him in a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
So,
so Babar, his mother is shot by a hunter. He flees the jungle and finds his way to an unspecified big city with no particular characteristics.
I thought he had like kids and stuff.
I thought he was in like British occupied India for a long time.
He wore a suit.
He did, but he was little. I think. Maybe Babar. Later he was an adult.
Did he, like, Babar is crowned the king of elephants, marries his cousin Celeste, and founds the city of Celesteville. Weird.
That's real weird.
I remember.
Are you on?
Did he talk? Like, did people interact with him?
He had
animal friends that he talked to.
He wore a suit.
He did wear a suit.
Why did you watch it?
I didn't really watch it. It was on HBO. I think it probably came on right before or after Fraggle Rock.
Even as a child, I was like, I don't think this is for me. But I did know its existence.
Huh. Fraggle Rock was pretty sweet, though.
Fraggle Rock was great.
I can't believe it aired on HBO. I had no idea.
I hope I'm not wrong about that, but I think...
No, I verified it. Right. I verified it 100% through the guy who put it onto Wikipedia.
Thank you, strange.
That was me.
So were there like... So it was all kid, like there weren't boobs or anything in Fraggle Rock.
No, it's totally a kid
not
show.
Many, no.
Because they could have if they wanted to.
But it was a kid show.
Kids know what boobs are.
Kids love boobs.
Just put, does anyone know Richard Scarry? That's what I'm watching right
now. Yeah!
Oh, he's
Apple that. Likes that. It's like a worm and an apple.
Worm and an apple in a town of weird.
Oh, yeah. What the Highlights magazine? Or there's something
in Highlights. No, it's a Nick Jr. show. Highlights. It was like the something world
the
of...
The busy world of Richard Scarry.
Yeah.
But yeah, but they originated from their own books, like the Busy Town books and shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't live there.
Originated.
Need to relax.
Origins,
books.
If you will.
Man, I read those books way, way before I watched that TV show. And I watched the fuck out of that TV show.
What about Arthur? That was a show.
Man, fuck Arthur!
Wow, dude. Fuck you, how about that? Arthur was shit!
I would watch the Berenstain Bears right now.
I love the Berenstain Bears.
I own all of those books. I made it my goal to collect every one that they showed on the back of the book.
Wow.
I did that with Goosebumps.
Gersperbs.
Gersperbs.
Oh,
that is like my favorite meme ever in the world.
I feel like it's already past its breaking point, and it unfortunately it's on its way down.
Unfortunately. No word, germs.
I think part of the problem with that meme is that it's so easy to do, and it's so like anybody can do it regardless of like what their idea is or how funny they are as a person. So, like, normos at the office can do it.
Yeah, I know that when my coworkers don't really do the, like, the internet meme stuff. Mm-hmm. So I know when they get a hold of it, it's like, oh,
it's
man, this is old.
Man, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, like, they do Ermagerd now all the time. If, like, we're busy at work, they'll be like, Ermagerd! And I'm like, don't do that.
Do they retire?
Yeah, you're using that wrong. You don't know what you're doing.
Don't do that.
If the only one that annoys me when people do that is that's what she said.
That's a little much.
Yeah.
It's
at this
long
point.
Gone. It's very long gone.
I still get that. I
mean, where did that start?
Yeah,
that started... Oh,
it was popularized.
You know what?
Wayne's
it was
World.
In Wayne's World.
Yeah,
because of Reddit. Thank you, Reddit.
But yeah, then everyone thought it came from The Office.
Well, no, they didn't think it came from The Office. It got popularized because of The Office. Because that was one of Michael Scott's sort
of catchphrases.
People
misunderstood the joke.
Michael Scott would say it all the time, but he is socially terrible.
He's a bad role model.
He's a bad role
model. Thank you, Keith.
And nothing he said in romantic or social situations should ever be followed to the letter. But everybody did. And it, oh god, it's so irritating. I can't stand it.
That's what someone, she said.
Fuck!
Oh, no. Oh, no. We need those mics.
That was pretty fun.
And we're back.
I just put a whole thing of Wishbone in the chat room. Wishbone. If anyone remembers Wishbone, he was a crime solving dog.
No.
That's
right.
He was a
being in story. No, he was a dog of the stories.
Dog of the stories.
That's a story-made dog.
A dog that you didn't understand.
Watching Hunchdog of Notre Dame.
Yes.
Part
they,
one of two.
Each, not Hunchback of Notre Dame.
No, the Hunchdog of Dog to Dog.
Yeah, each episode it would be a different, presumably rights-free story where Wishbone would play the starring role.
That is a cute puppy.
That is a hell of a puppy.
That is a good dog.
Yeah, it's a good dog. It's a good dog.
Did you guys ever watch Eek the Cat?
Hell yeah, yeah, bro.
A little bit.
I loved Eek the Cat, and I didn't understand why I loved it as a kid, but the more I watch it as an adult, I love it.
Oh,
so stupid and crazy.
Wasn't there like a caveman show along with it? What was that?
Thunder Lizards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we talked about lizards.
Yeah, that was a short in Eek the Cat.
It was like cool dinosaurs, right?
Yeah, cool dinosaurs.
Like, did they have guns? Am I making that up?
Yes, okay. Laser guns. Sweet. And men were like stupid.
Dude. Humans
were.
Awesome.
You guys ever Eek the Cat would always say, "It never hurt to help." He had like a speech impediment.
What a nerd.
What about, I forgot, I'm going to mess up the title, like Squad Cats? Or... SWAT cats.
SWAT cats was awesome.
Did the show.
They had a plane, man. Yeah, they
had lots of stuff.
I'm completely unaware of this show.
Also,
I don't think I watched it, but I know I've heard it.
It's just vigilante cats with some unbelievable source of money that allows them to have like planes and motorcycles and stuff.
It's so freaking awesome.
Are they not just on SWAT?
No, they're total vigilantes.
They're their own SWAT, man. Because
the police are, like, always after them.
Yeah, did your guys' parents... So, Nick, did your parents ever watch cartoons with you? Or
oh, no, I was on... I mean, I watched X-Men, I watched Where's Waldo.
They watched them with you?
Back to the Future, the cartoon. Yeah, I just couldn't watch Pee-wee. No, they let me watch cartoons all the time.
Did all of your guys' parents watch cartoons with you? Did they watch the shows you watched?
Sometimes, man,
they had shit to do.
I was the third boy. They're done enjoying childhood things with me.
Aww.
You know, my parents mostly just had the weather channel on.
Mine too, really. Those are my news.
Yeah.
Every morning.
It's a shame, because, you know, sometimes you need to know what the weather is. And,
I'm not interested in that.
Sometimes you just don't have the weather channel on, you don't have access to AccuWeather or weather.com, any of those internet sources.
Or Tom Skilling on Facebook.
Right.
You might need some help in figuring out what the weather's like.
Exactly. Ooh, but fear not, listeners. Because I don't know what this segment is titled. It's time for Cloud Tells the Weather.
At 9 a.m. tomorrow, watch the skies for a giant human foot wearing a shoe about 50 feet long. Don't let it get you. Then, around noon, there's a 60% chance of anvils. In the evening, expect a cold front from the southwest that'll make your shirt just fly right off.
This has been Cloud Tells the Weather.
Incredibly wrong. All of that is just so wrong.
She said what the weather
wait
is.
Wait till tomorrow, Castelli.
I can't. See. I'm going to wait.
Hold on to your shirt.
I believe a foot.
I mean, if it's Friday, it's raining today, so look out. All right, it's going to rain. It's going to be a little cold, and then on Saturday, it'll be back into the 60s.
Okay, now we're talking.
You know, folks,
we do see a foot.
Don't come crying.
Don't come crying the cloud.
Folks, we record this podcast live on Mondays, and you can catch it live on livestream.com/Octavarius. We record every Monday at 9:45 Central Standard Time. But otherwise, you have to wait until Friday to get it on iTunes and Octavarius.com, and now on Stitcher. Which means if you're not catching us live, you're probably catching us the first day it comes out on Friday, September 21st. Which means we have some very special birthdays to announce.
God. Oh, God.
Happy birthday to Greg Jennings, wide receiver for Green Bay Packers and wide receiver on my fantasy football team. Hey, get better, you bum.
Happy birthday, Luke Wilson. You sure have been in a lot of movies, but your brother's getting more attention. Get better, you bum.
Happy birthday to Nicole Richie, American socialite. Yeah. You're a terrible person.
Happy birthday, Bill Murray. You're very funny.
Oh, Bill Murray. Yay.
Happy birthday, Ricky Lake. Where you been, girl?
She's back, Tim. What are you talking about?
She's back.
She's got a new show.
On what channel? What corner of the internet?
Probably UPN, like she used to.
The you Open.
Know who I wish would have a new show on UPN.
Who's that?
Alfonso Ribeiro, who played Carlton Banks on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh.
He deserves a show on UPN. At the very least, UPN.
Alfonso Ribeiro, fun fact, he was the fucking dude in the McDonald's McGriddles commercials.
What?
He was the man that introduced America to McGriddles.
Damn, dude.
McGriddles are a special treat.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Alfonso Ribeiro.
So, happy birthday to you all. You know, we are just, we're having a ball here.
We're having too much fun.
I love birthdays, Tim.
We are having so much fun with all these birthday celebrations.
You're not going to bring us down with something.
Well, unfortunately, Keith,
do we have to?
Yeah, we do. We do. It's our responsibility as entertainers, comedians, and podcasters to inform people of the bad news for every time. Somebody has a birthday. Nope, got it wrong. Every time somebody is born, somebody must die.
That's right.
What was that?
It was Stubby's phone.
Oh, okay.
He can't handle holding things.
Anyway, that's the rule. So, to the family, friends, and fans of Sir Walter Scott, Scottish writer, I'm sorry for your loss. But you know, it's been almost 200 years. So
yeah, get better, you bum.
Yeah.
And to the family of Jacqueline Susan, author of Valley of the Dolls.
Oh,
I'm unfamiliar with your work, and I'm sorry,
I've
family and friends.
She's in the bar, but
it was part of the play I did.
Mm-hmm. And to the sons of Harry Carey Sr.
Great.
He died.
Sorry.
He died. To the family of Christine Norden, the actress in Little Shop of Horrors. Sorry for your loss.
And before we head to the end of the podcast, it's time for your Octavarius sports update.
Oh, right.
As you know, yesterday the Kurt Vonnegut's pulled a massive win out of the Direwolves, 87.14 to 72.36. If you are still watching live, then you of course know that the Dinosaurs from Space, with 10 minutes and 20 seconds left in the game, have a now commanding lead with 99.04 points, while the Gotham Rogues still trail by 72.10. Julio Jones better pull something out of his ass.
This is, of course, the fantasy league.
This is the Octavarius Sports Update.
Yes.
And with that, we are actually just about out of time. As always, keep coming to our shows, please. We love seeing you there. Every Sunday at 7 at the Comedy Sports Theater. That's 929 West Belmont in sunny Chicago, Illinois. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We are at Octavarius. Get the Stitcher app. We are now there, and you can now download our podcast and listen to it on all devices, regardless of your internets and all that. Get Stitcher. It's really cool.
Stitch it on into your life.
There are many, many podcasts that are using it, so it's an incredibly handy little tool. And yeah,
my brain's so dumb, need help.
We better wrap up, though. We don't even have time for a sentence.
Well, how about a broken English sort of sentence?
Now you're speaking my language. It's time for Nick McCullough's Seven Words of Wisdom.
Hey, this one's for you, Cherry.
This has been Nick Mikula's seven words of wisdom. I will not say what it was, but Castelvi was providing Mikula quite the distraction.
Yeah. Foiled. Foiled by Castelvi.
Wow. That is going to do it for us. Until next time, thanks for listening, everybody. Have 8 days in a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Don't say it yet! You're running out of time! Close and lock the door!
He's coming back for more.